Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Rhythm and Wit, the podcast and video series that will discuss and explore the creative and artistic expressions of artists and performers in Oklahoma City and its neighboring cities, also once referred to as the Greater Metro Area by a popular local rock band. I will be one of your hosts. My name is David Steele. I am a bass player, a music producer, a graphic designer, a photographer, and a film hobbyist. My co-host is Nicholas Campbell. Nick is a stand-up comedian, a singer, a songwriter, a guitar player, an electrical contractor, a husband, a father, and my best friend for almost 25 years. In today's episode, we discuss inspiration. We talk about some of the things that inspired us when we were growing up, as well as how we continually try to step out of our bubbles and expand our experiences. We talk about how we stay inspired through opposition and how to deal with criticism and ask for feedback, as well as some other sources of inspiration, such as our peers, teaching others, and following our interests. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and podcast feeds to keep up with new episodes that drop every Friday. We hope you enjoy today's episode, as we greatly appreciate your time and attention.
Watch carefully. 5, 4, 3.
You didn't say 2 or 1.
Oh, you don't say 2 or 1.
Why not?
You just don't. Okay, now it goes.
And 5, 4, 3. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Wit with me, David Steele, and
me, Nick Campbell.
We're here to talk today to you about inspiration. I had a question to kick us off with to you, Nick, is what is like one of your earliest memories of seeing something that you saw out in the world, whatever it is, if it's a movie, some TV show character, or, you know, comedian or whatever, musician, that you saw and said, oh, I want to do that. What made, you know, inspired you to be creative and to do something creative with your life?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a tough one, man. But I can tell you, whenever I was younger, I've always been into music and like MTV music videos, and my family played music a lot, so that was inspired. They did a lot of singing and everything. And so one time I went to go, I had like a little guitar. I don't know if you remember this, but I had a little guitar, and I brought the plunger in from the bathroom and I set it in the living room and I started, it was like 2 years old, and I started playing the guitar while, so I've always wanted to do music. Ultimately, I've always wanted to be a performer.
Right.
But, and it was, if the inspiration for that probably was to get attention.
Yeah.
You know, and it worked. So, because, you know, my whole family did that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how you kind of got attention within your family, is by being entertaining.
It was a family full of entertainers.
Yeah. So it's like you had to be the best if you wanted to stand out, or you had to be, you know.
Yeah. Show promise.
You had to be worthy of the attention in a way.
There's a lot of one-upsmanship in the Kelly side of my family, which would be my mom and my grandma and all that. But they are, we all joke around and we all make fun of each other in a way, and just kind of who can get the best joke. Me and my dad, I found that out this weekend or this previous week. I was working with dad. He's retired, but he's working to just get some money, you know? And, the whole time we're working, we're in this rich people's house and it's like heavy, big chandeliers and stuff, but we get it set up and we're joking and laughing the whole time. Like, we're just me and him cutting each other up, and then the lady comes in, he's like, "You guys look like you have so much fun." Like, I was like, it's just what we do, man. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that's something that most people can't say they have that much fun on the job.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to do that.
Well, we're just making fun of these giant fixtures that seem ridiculous.
That's something I've always, like, that's something I like to think about my personality and who I am, is just I like to find the humor in things and try not to take anything too seriously.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we've always gotten along in that way, because we're very different in that way. I mean, we grew up in very different families in that sense that you just said. That was not how my family was when I was growing up. So, but I don't know, I've always just tried to look at life as something to enjoy and laugh at, and, you know, just find the fun in it if you can. I mean, that's something I always try to do, and, you know, laugh at everything that you can laugh at.
Yeah, it takes the weight out of it too. Mm-hmm. If you're able to do it with somebody else, or call out an elephant in the room, and then that's something my mom was really good at, was making people that, all right, so big inspiration was my mom. So she was really good at making people feel comfortable. And she did that by being a fun person and, like, singing and kind of getting you to let down your guard. And so I kind of, I think I feel like I do the same thing, but she was way better at being kind in that way, or being like kind supportive.
Of, open and supportive.
Yeah, because if you came to her with anything, she'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I bet you could do it. I bet you could fix it. You know, let's help you get there." Yeah, and so she was just super nice about that. So I see that. And then, so she would listen to music and I would just kind of sing along with her. She knew how to sing, so she taught me, like, how to sing with your diaphragm and everything when I was younger, and we would just sing as loud as we could in the house, and nobody would stop you. Nobody would be like, "Hey, you need to be quiet."
Yeah, nobody was there to say you shouldn't do that either, which is, I think, a big thing for a lot of people, is, you know, having that support of someone saying, encouragement is, you know, very valuable in pursuing anything that we're trying to do. So that sounds great. I mean, definitely sounds like your family was your inspiration. I mean, it sounds like you didn't, it was never even a question of what, you know, or what you wanted to do. It was just ingrained in you at that early age. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
For me, I guess, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I definitely could say my family has been an inspiration for me too. But as far as my creative inspirations, I mean, they inspired me to be a good person, I think, and have helped shape me into who I am, which I value. But as far as the inspiration goes, I mean, I guess my parents did always allow me to express myself in however I wanted to. And they were always supportive of, you know, if I wanted to have long hair when I was, you know, a teenager. I guess how old were you? I was probably 14, 15, and I had hair down to my shoulders. An early inspiration for me growing up was, not the earliest, but was just the whole skateboard community and the skateboarding culture.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the first places that I felt like I had a place. I could see myself in the world. And there was so much creativity to skateboarding. I mean, in the way that you express yourself on the way you dress, and, you know, the way you wear your hair, and you know, I mean, not only with the actual skateboarding itself and expressing yourself within movement and doing tricks and learning and, you know, getting better and improving on those types of things. But also with just the art of it all. I mean, there's so much art within skateboarding, a visual art, like skateboard graphics on the backs of the boards. I mean, those were, we could never afford those. And it's like, I only had maybe a handful of nice, cool graphics on but they'd get messed up. So it's like, why would you spend $100 on a piece of art that you're just going to destroy? I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Well, I think it's funny because, like, do you think your that art style and that, like, graphics of, like, inspires your graphics to this day?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in a way, I think that when it comes to my inspiration for graphic design, there's so much that inspired me in that front. I mean, I think one of the earliest, actually, I will say this, but probably going back to my question to you originally, with the earliest inspiration had to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's a good one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Because, I mean, in cartoons, for me, when I was a kid, were just all I cared about in a weird way. I mean, I think that most kids probably did, but for me, it was something very special because it was the art of it, like the actual drawn images and, you know, crafted character design. And particularly that show, for me, that was definitely my earliest love of cartoons was... that show. So, and they had so many cool character art in that. I mean, not only the turtles themselves, but all their weird mutant friends and all of that. It's like so inspiring. But also that inspired me to start drawing, you know, as a child, and then eventually led me to be a graphic artist because I just love that. I'm very inspired by hard kind of lines and bright colors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I've never been into comic books as a young kid. I was more into cartoons and, like, watching the animated, like, X-Men animated series. It was another one. But that, you know, I wasn't a comic book collector at all, but I loved the art of comic books. So that's definitely one that I definitely am still inspired to. If anybody comes to my house, you will see all kinds of Marvel shit all over the walls because I just love the art. And I was thinking about this earlier today in preparation for this was Marvel, and to me in particular, is I think it's not so much because I'm not out here trying to make comic books. I was when I was a kid. I thought that was like something that I definitely could do because it's like, oh, I can draw and I can write words. Yeah. I can make a comic book, you know? So, I mean, that was probably definitely one of my first forays into any kind of storytelling was making my own comics when I was probably like 8 or something. Which, you know, I obviously don't have those inspirations these days, but I still love the MCU and Marvel. I think it's more of the iconography of it. And, like, the characters themselves, of course, but it's just, like, they're iconic characters. I mean, take Spider-Man, for example. Well, I mean, everything that character stands for, so many people can identify with. And no matter what, even though he's, you know, middle-class white kid, you know, from New York. I mean, so many people of all shapes and colors and genders are inspired by that character. And to the point where there is every shade of a different Spider-Man for every, you know, person with what they have done with him, which is great. So it's like that kind of stuff really inspires me to... These heroes, right? They're inspirational because they want to help people. I think that is one of the inspirations for why I love superheroes so much is because they're just out here trying to save everyone. And you know, and try to help everyone and be in, you know, it's very sacrificial in a lot of ways. I mean, especially if you go to look at Spider-Man, he sacrifices his normal teenage life so he could go out and save the people that he need that need to be saved, you know, from physical harm.
Well, I think that Marvel, I mean, does a great job of giving. There's only so many archetypes, really, mm-hmm. but then having variances on each archetype, right. so you can kind of like impose yourself if mm-hmm. you connect with somebody, and they have that across the gambit. You know, like I think it's funny that people attach themselves to like Deadpool mm-hmm. when he's just like this chaotic.
But you know? Some people, I mean, I think it makes sense because a lot of people walk around and like their mind is a jumbled mess. Yeah. So like. It's like, oh, I see myself, this character is, it's like, that's kind of how my mind is or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Or people like the Punisher, you know, yeah. like that. But, or even, like you said, like different variances on just Spider-Man, mm-hmm. you know?
Look, that's been into one the of the easiest yeah. one to point to it with that. But I mean, even going back to Superman, that's like, he's an iconic, you know, just symbol even. I mean, you look at this actual symbol of the S. I mean, that's what I like about Superman. I don't really care too much for that character. I mean, he's fine or whatever. He's not one of my favorites. But that symbol is one of the coolest symbols that, you know, can be for a superhero. And it's, like, very inspiring in a way of... I mean, he was supposed to be an inspiration for, you know, the American people going through the war, you know, and it's, like, having some symbol of hope, even though it was completely made up.
It's like Captain America.
Yeah, similar. Yeah. I mean, a but lot then, of that stuff.
So. During their Civil War, I mean, you saw the other side where he was like, hey, I don't want to be controlled, though. You yeah. know?
And I mean, so, that's what's so good about Marvel to yeah. me is their willingness to dive into, you know, real-world topics and, you know, with the X-Men. I mean, that's all about oppression. Yeah. And, like, you know, the minority and, you know, all of this and being... treated unfairly because they don't understand you, you know? I mean, that's the entire premise of the X-Men.
Or, and then normal people's perceived danger right. of the people, yeah. you know?
Because they don't understand it. Or, yeah. yeah, they perceive it as evil because they don't understand it. I mean, there's so much, I mean, even to this day, that's why the X-Men are so popular still. So, yeah, that stuff, I mean, it's inspiring for life, I think, for me. It's just, and a lot of it is, I think, with comic book or comic book movies in general, the MCU is, for me and for years, it's like been an escape from reality for me. It's like I go into this imaginary world that's so vast now with, like, you know, dozens of movies at this point and yeah. projects and all that. It's like you can get lost in that world very easily, which... something that I've always, you know, been a fan of, escapism, but it's not always the best thing to do either, so. And it's like, but I think a lot of it too, like I said, it's not always, like, I'm not trying to do what they're doing with any of that stuff, but it still will come out in ways, how I express myself. Like I said, just walk around my house and you'll see the things that I like, you yeah. know, what I'm interested in pretty
you know what's quickly. Funny is, I feel the same way with, like, Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, whenever... I was young when I was watching... I mean, very young. This is back whenever it was coming on in the morning yeah. on, like, Sunday.
Yeah.
When you had to catch it mm-hmm. at, like, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning along with Ronin Warriors and Sailor Moon. and I would watch both of those.
Yeah. Great anime.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball Z, it was this, like... this one guy, very simple guy. All he mm-hmm. needed was the people around him. But he also had this drive to be better. You yeah. know, drive to want to do...
be the best, or just challenge himself.
Yeah, honestly. But his challenge himself was also so detrimental to everyone around him. But he was self-sacrificing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Dragon Ball Z gave me that... this idea of just, like, you know, be the hero. You know, mm-hmm. be a dude. And I got a little bit of a savior complex anyways. But... be the hero, and that's what my mom and dad used to watch it. Remember whenever it came on Toonami?
Yeah, that was always good that they're so involved.
I think there's more, and then not to be, I've gained more from Dragon Ball Z than I have religion, you know what I'm saying? And not in a bad way, but it's just like, all right,
but it's good that, I mean, it does, that's what just shows that. Religion is great for people that it does help and, like, that can learn how to be a better person with it. But there are other options. I mean, we learn so much of film. For me, is that I recently, when I was taking some film classes, I learned about film was like they, so much of our culture and knowledge is spread through film and things like that. I mean, that's where, think about it. When we grew up, where did we learn the most about the outside world from? Before the internet. Yeah. TV shows. I mean, we learned about black culture from the Cosbys or Fresh Prince.
Video games too.
You know, and all these, you know, different cultures and different people are expressing their lives through their art so that we can experience something and get an idea of what the outside world is like or different experiences that we don't have.
Well, as far as inspiration, that inspires you to go out into that world, because I mean, a lot of times we live in our own bubble, like we're kind of not. Right. And personally, I'm stuck in this bubble. I mean, not stuck as far as like, but I can't get out. If everybody does, I think. But you get up, you go to work, you deal with the same people you normally deal with. Mm-hmm. You kind of get home, you deal with those people, and you don't really go out and jaunt. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Saturday, Sunday might be a little different, but for the most part, your bubble's pretty small within the where you got to go and what you got to do, and not. Not even by choice, you know? And so whenever you see these other expressions of like a family or, you know, I think that's why it is important that, you know, gay people see themselves in art.
Yeah.
See themselves in Disney. I feel it's kind of a weird argument to go, hey, this shouldn't exist when it has existed for the entirety of the time.
I mean, that was like one of my earliest kind of depiction of gay culture was from like Will and Grace on TV. You know, they had gay characters on TV in a way. And it's like, oh, you can experience something that, you know, I was a young kid. So, I mean, I wasn't out in the world that, you know, knowing about anything about gay culture. But that show, you know, was a view into that. Window a little bit. So I mean that is how a lot of America for sure learns about other cultures is through television and has for a long time, and definitely movies too, because movies are and sometimes in a bad way. You look at like, you go back to like Hitler and stuff in Germany, and they had like the propaganda movies and stuff like that, and it's like they were brainwashing people with these things because they were showing things and expressing ideas and sharing those in a very negative way, where so it can go both ways. I mean, film is very powerful and story.
Well, like we did that. It with the Russians during the 50s,
right?
And then during the O's after 9/11 or whatever, we did it with the Middle East, basically.
Yeah.
You know, every bad guy was from the Middle, but they didn't have any specifics really. Mm-hmm. You know, like in Marvel, who got Tony Stark.
Yeah.
They were just like, you know, these people out here, you know? And I feel like sometimes that villainization could go, I mean, obviously it did go against.
That's a very bad, I mean, because, like Middle Easterners always depicted as terrorists in movies. It's like, I mean, and.
You should go for their motivations versus the area and location that they're at. Like, why are they doing this?
That doesn't matter, ultimately.
But
or shouldn't. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker, so.
Not yet. Maybe.
I mean, I could. That would be interesting. But that's something that in film and everything I do, it's like I want to try to include different voices besides my own. It's like I don't claim to know everything at all. So, very far from it.
Same here.
So it's always good. I love to learn about other people's cultures and other people's experiences. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I want to get out and be involved in the community and meet just new people as much as I can, because I love to try to experience, you know, another side of looking at things and learn something new, because everything you learn, that's why I think with all the stuff we're talking about, I mean, it's just kind of what the things that we like, but everything that you see in the world, you're internalizing it and you'll take it and you can output it somewhere else, whatever you're creating or
through the filter of your experience.
Right. Yeah. So everything can be an inspiration. That was my point.
Everything can be.
Anything. So.
You know, something I wanted to kind of talk about is, so whenever I was a musician, I mean, I still am, when I was out doing music and, you know, whenever I first started, I would pick apart songs, mm-hmm. right? You would go in, you would listen to a song, you would pick apart all the pieces, and then you would go, okay, how can I, like, make my version of this? But then you would also start judging things. Like, just because the part of doing any craft is you have to judge it for yourself to see if it's good. Like, you know, like, yeah. if I'm writing music or if I'm doing comedy or if I'm, you know, building electrical system in a house, I have to judge it and go, this is good, mm-hmm. you know, basically. So at a certain point, whenever I was doing music, I would start, instead of enjoying music, I would just start taking it apart. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, enjoying, and so it became almost daunting to listen to music.
Yeah, you're like, you're kind of, I think I get that, because I'll do that a little bit with, like, when I'm on Spotify, I'm already at work, and it's like, oh, do I want to listen to Spotify, and for whatever reason, it's like, this feels like it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you're taking, it almost becomes work to, so right. this is what I get to, is I would get, when I was younger, I would get inspired by watching a band play or watching a music video or listening to a song or, mm-hmm. or, you know, and then after a while, once I got older and we were playing with other bands, I would watch other bands and I just wouldn't enjoy them because I would be like, well, what are they doing wrong? Mm-hmm. What can we do better? Are we better than them? Are they better than us? And it really killed. I recognized this back then too. And I had a hard time getting it to stop. I was just like, man, I can't really enjoy, I'm not enjoying these people's music.
Yeah.
What I really enjoy about doing comedy is I didn't allow that groove to get made where I was I don't judge it.
You didn't start out that way.
Yeah. So now I'm just like, I'm just going to watch these people. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Because I think that's something that once, if you do that, like, the important bits, you'll remember them. Or if you have a thought while watching someone and say, oh, I could maybe take something from that and use, you know, that idea, or not to take their stuff, but like
the mechanics of
use like an idea or an, you know, it could spark something in your mind that you could try. And it's like, you don't have to look for those things. Those things will appear and you'll notice them.
You can leave the judgments behind.
Yeah.
That's what it feels. And that's why I like doing comedy now and watching people that, and then watching them. I've done it for about a year now. And for about a year and a half though, I just wanted to watch the people that were doing it.
Because you were going out and going to the mics and watching people before you actually went up.
Oh, yeah. For like 6 months to a year, I was watching. Because that also, Bricktown showed up, and then that really was a great way to watch comedy.
Yeah.
But then I've seen these people progress. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that I really like, that I'm seeing right now, just like, kill it, is Dave Branch.
Hey, guys. Dave Branch here. Just want to let you know about a show I have coming up where I'm roasting Jen Shamrock. Fast.
Mm-hmm. This guy, he's put together a really good set, and he expresses it well. And I've watched him. What's funny is we've kind of worked together here this past week or so.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I remember first watching him and seeing him now, and it's just like, man, that's great to see this growth. Yeah. You know, and you learn from watching them grow.
Yeah, and that's inspiring too. That's something I had written down too. Was I'm inspired by the, you know, all the performers that I've met and interacted with much more over the past 6 months or so by going to the open mics and just being around and seeing them, like Dave Branch. He was at the mic last night at Fairweather. He did great.
Oh, nice.
And I noticed that too. I hadn't seen him a ton before, you know, recently, but those performers inspire me to just keep going and to keep, you know, keep showing up for my craft, just because I see them pushing themselves, and we push each other, I think, in that way. And it's like very powerful to be in the community and see, you know, just watching each other do better and better is inspiration.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
But yeah, the something else that now that I'm watching it in that way, it's like holding on to sand. I feel like if you're sitting there picking stuff apart, you don't even get the full idea of it. You're just like, all right, man, like, you're just like trying to grasp what's important there. And a lot of times it's not even the act or the thing that's important. It's the expression. It's the this moment in time doing this thing, you know? Nobody can do that at that moment in time. Yeah. Nobody can be on that stage doing that in that moment. You've created something unique, you know? And the success in that is that moment.
Yeah, that's all there is. Yeah. That's why I like the performance, and I think I've realized that about performing of all kinds, comedy, music, And I think that the magic of it is, and the reason why I'm addicted to it in a way of watching other people perform, is that it is that very, insoluble thing where it's just like, this is the experience, this is it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you're here for it or you're not.
Yeah, and it's so, a firecracker.
I mean, you know, it's like, and it's such a different experience. Of course, you could film it, you can post videos online, which is a cool way to, you know, get an idea of what it was, but you can't experience, you know, fully. The experience is when you're in front of somebody that's doing something incredible.
That's what I like about Bricktown on open mic nights is, so you, it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
But when everybody gets a chance to get a warm crowd and everybody is hitting, you know, and doing a good job, it almost seems like magic. I feel like if I put enough effort like they do in L.A., here,
yeah,
let's just do that. Make this my LA. Let me make this my place that I am enjoying. This is our pond, even though it's a small one. Mm-hmm. Let's make the best we can.
And just it's growing. It. I mean, in like 10 more years, who knows what this city will be? I mean, it could be much bigger. I mean, it's already gonna be bigger than it is now because every time you turn the corner, there's a new building being built, a new and it's all, a lot of it is entertainment based and stuff like that, which I think is what we need in Oklahoma because there's nothing to do.
I mean, there was a lot less when we were younger too.
There's more and more, like I said, but it's growing everywhere. I mean,
we got a scene.
There's all kinds of stuff coming up. And
How's the music scene though?
It's terrible.
Is it? I feel comedy's growing.
Yeah.
Growing a big time, but...
Was there anything else that you wanted to hit on? Any topics?
As far as inspiring, I like having a buddy. I have a writing buddy. His name is Leo Mendes.
Yeah.
We try to write every week, but, you know, life. But an accountability buddy really helps. And then somebody who's there to kind of talk out your ideas with. And really, sometimes just talk. To kind of just express the ideas of a joke.
Yeah, and you're bouncing stuff around and seeing. Because sometimes you need to hear stuff out loud at all. Like, and somebody, you have to tell it to someone else too. And it's like a lot of times, I learned this when in music, when you're mixing, right? Like mixing a song and all the tracks and you're just like, well, I don't know if this is good. It's like, it sounds good to me, but it's like, there's stuff in here that I think that could be better. But you don't know, you've been doing it a long time and you kind of get into that where it's like hard to see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, yeah.
But the best way to get over that is to just play it for someone else and watch their reaction, but not even really pay attention to their reaction so much. It's just that for whatever reason, it puts your mind in a state to where everything that you think could be better will appear very vividly to you because someone else is, you know, because
you're presenting it
to them.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it doesn't really matter what their reaction is. It's just in your mind, you will automatically know the things that you, it's not even that need to be changed, but the things that you'll notice that might be need to be changed.
I think something that to touch on here is even whenever you give somebody the opportunity to listen to your art, it's important to pick that person wisely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want somebody to come in and completely obliterate it either. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, you want somebody you can trust, somebody who's going to protect your art as well.
Somebody that's going to come at it with compassion, I think, is a big thing. Because, if you're asking somebody for criticisms of any kind, it's difficult. Criticism is a tricky thing no matter what, because you're telling somebody that what's wrong or something that could be wrong with their art. So I think in all cases, if you're that person that's there to criticize, come at it with the most compassion that you can and be just gentle. It's very deeply, you know, the people that work on, I mean, what we do for our art or anybody that creates art puts a lot of work and probably a lot more time and thought into things that then you realize or you might realize. So I take criticism badly in general, I'll admit it. It's not easy. I've gotten better and I try to be better, you know, I try not to be outwardly offended.
Yeah.
So I mean, even if it does hurt, but With graphics, I learned a long time ago to separate that out for graphic design. I mean, I put my, you know, a lot of thought into the things that I design and create for sure, but I don't put a lot of myself into it, I guess, like, because it's not really my expression. I'm more helping somebody else express themselves, so it's okay. Easier for me to take criticism with that kind of aspect, for sure. But yeah, whenever it is something that I put a lot of myself into and am proud of, it's hard for me to hear anything that could be bad about it or not, you know, or whatever the criticism it is.
Yeah, I feel like I've dealt with a lot of criticism. I can take hits fairly well, but for me, what I love about comedy is, like, it doesn't matter what anyone says, because if the audience is laughing, it's working, you know? And you might have some hack jokes, but you can kind of weed through
even,
those.
Even those, you know? Like, I mean, there's definitely people, I've definitely seen a lot of people, with, like, just throw a joke in there that's not even, it's like, that's not original at all. Like, it's an old hat joke, you know? But it's like, whatever, if it works in the moment and it, like, you know, it's funny, it can still be funny even though it's, you know, been done. I'm not even talking about people stealing jokes, but I'm just saying, like, or using puns or something.
Or common phrases.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like phrases. Any kind of cliche kind of joke kind of things. Yeah. Or, I mean, it's not like, yeah, like you said, it could be whatever, like low-hanging fruit, I guess.
Well, that's also a place marker. That's really all that is. It's like, hey, I'm going to put this right here, and I'm going to replace that with something later.
Yeah.
You know?
Use it for a tool. Well, I'm just saying, like, people use those kinds of things in their act, which is, like I said, it could work totally, because I've seen it work, but I've also seen it not work.
Yeah.
When are people like, okay, you put a little bit more thought into that, maybe.
You want it to work 90%, but the audience will let you know.
Right.
The audience usually lets you know.
But yeah. I mean, like I said, it could still work. I mean, if people laugh, then it's working, like you said. So that's what's it's nice. You get that immediate feedback with comedy.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, a lot of times if you do find somebody who is probably not the person to trust with your art, then that person is going to come to you and tell you about it no matter what. So that's the first red flag. Is like, here, listen, here's what's wrong with what you did. You're like, okay, hold on. All right, yeah, I got you. Yeah. So I try to be a little bit more personally, like, especially with music. I have a lot of hang-ups on music compared to comedy because I dealt with that a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it, too, is from when you're, you know, are you going to make money with this? That's in there. And that really ruins
the expectations of other people.
Well, I mean, like, when you're growing up, you know, and you're like, I'm going to be a rock star, obviously.
Like, is that it financially?
Your parents are going to go, hey, you got to get something else. You got to get a second thing. You can't just, this isn't, you know, you're not that good. You know, really, that's what they're saying is like, you're not that good yet.
That kind of thinking is unfortunate because I think that is the way.
Because it has value.
The way our culture is. Yeah. I mean, that's where most people, I mean, especially I'm sure with comedians, I've heard countless comedians talk about their upbringing on stages and they talk about how their parents thought it was a terrible idea or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, these things that comedy, art of any kind, music, it's so valuable for us. I think it's as valuable as what we do for a living because it's the way we express ourselves and the way that if you don't express yourself, that can be very damaging, I think, to a person and their mental health. So, like, you have to, and I think we all express ourselves in different ways, even if you don't do any kind of art or music or performance. I mean, everybody gets stressed in the morning. You pick out the clothes you wear, you do what you want to your hair and your whatever you do, you know. It's like the way you present yourself to the world is an expression of yourself. So, and the way you talk and the way what you talk about, you know, I mean, it's all. And if you hold that back, it's very damaging and can lead to depression. And, you know, you have to keep that, your generative drive. It has to be healthy and you know, you have to be outputting something, I think, to be truly happy. But I think, and going back to the thing about expressing as a child, right? A lot of, and for a lot of us creatives, we're introverted, like I've mentioned before. We struggle with expressing ourselves in those simple ways, like communicating and, you know, presenting yourself. So that's why we go into art, I think, and find alternate ways to express ourselves. And that's the worst thing to tell someone, they shouldn't do that.
Yeah, or when they first start something. Mm-hmm.
Be supportive and not, don't discourage anyone.
You wouldn't yell at a toddler for not coloring in the lines.
Right.
Like, you're like, that's the wrong crayon. It's like, there is no wrong crayon, dude.
Yeah, it's like, there's room for that. Maybe if you've been doing something and putting a lot of time and effort and maybe money into a project for decades and it's really just not going anywhere, I mean, maybe that's the point where it's like, okay,
let me look at this. Maybe they're right,
you know, but it's something, like, there's a point to
something. Jerry Corley, he's like a comedy coach or whatever, Jerry Corley, mm-hmm. says, he has a lot of great stuff on YouTube, but something he says is ask a question. You know, if somebody hits you with a critique, follow up with two questions. You know, like, why do you think that? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so this is why you think that. After so many people say the same thing, then you're like, okay, maybe there's some truth to this, mm-hmm. right?
That's a good
one. You also don't want it coming from somebody or anyone who's, like, attacking immediately. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But either way.
I like that. I think that's something that I've thought about a little bit, too, is, I mean, this is kind of... I mean, it goes back to what you're saying, but it's a weird thought that popped in my head, was there was a girl here at the last party, Dave of the Dead 3.5 summer rerun. thanks for everybody to come out. there was a girl there I had never met before, but she was just saying, like, oh, like, your house is so cute. And I was just thinking, like, oh, that's a nice compliment. Sure, I'll take it. But I was a little bit taken off aback by it, you know, just because, I don't know, not a lot of people do compliment my house often, but I never know what to say. But afterwards, later on, I was thinking about that, and I was like, I should have just asked her. It was like, why? What? What is it about my house that you thought, you know, you liked? Whatever it was. I mean, I think that's an interesting thing you brought that up, because, just because somebody... I think it's good. If you like something that somebody does, you should tell them that. Except they like to hear that, especially if it is something that they worked hard on. But I think if you're getting that compliment, ask, what is it that you liked in particular? Just one thing, even. You know. And you can get a lot of insight from that. Because that's, you know, especially, like you said, if you hear the positive thing from lots of people, too, you know exactly what it is that... worked so well about whatever.
That's a good
did.
Point too. I mean, you got to throw in the positive with the negative. I mean, anytime you critique, I like to think of it's like you should sandwich it.
Never give somebody a critique without at least saying what you did like about it. At least I think that's a good point.
I mean, I've been there where people have been like, hey man, you know, you did this wrong. It's like, dang, were you even watching it for for any other reason?
It's like, why were you even watching it then if you hated everything about it?
Because I don't think this was for you. You know?
Which, I mean, that's
a big part of it, too.
That's a fair thing. Yeah. If it is, then it's fine. Then don't watch it. You know, don't listen to it.
But as far as inspiration, I got another one. So Rylan's learning the guitar, mm-hmm. and it's inspired me to kind of go back and relook at my basics on my guitar, because I'm trying to teach him a little bit. But I'm not trying to push him into
any direction. But you want to be able to answer the questions that he might have.
Because like yesterday, he had this question about, he's really getting into like metal.
Yeah.
Like, who was it? Judas Priest? Mm-hmm. Like, he's learning Breaking the Law right now. Solid song, but he's like, man, I can't get my pinky to make this sound right. And I was like, well, you gotta adjust your pressure, right? And so how do you do that? You just practice doing it over and over again. And he's like, yeah, but it's really boring. I was like, but that's the broccoli, you know. Like, that's what you gotta eat to get better. And so it's just he wants to practice, like, you know, he practices once a week. It's like, well, this is a daily process. You get 5 to 10 minutes a day is better than 30 to an hour once a week, you know. And I feel like that's what I'm relearning. And then I'm imposing that on my comedy. It's like, hey, man, just go write one joke.
5 minutes a day.
Just write one joke today. You know, like, I try to make lower my expectations of myself to be able to just and then what always happens, I'll write more.
Yeah.
I'll end up being like, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. Let me write this again.
It's like once you start, even if you say, I'm only going to do this for 5 minutes, it won't take long, you might end up doing 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
Because you're there anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
if you get the ball rolling. Maybe it doesn't, and you just do five, and you're like, okay, well, I tried.
But then you still gave it a shot. You
still did something. Yeah.
And you still did that five.
Maybe you have some progress, so.
And I'm watching him get inspired, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to watch him do that and listen to him slowly get better over time.
Yeah, that's good.
And I can feel that kind of just, like, we're both learning new skills at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to see where he's coming from. And I started playing guitar at 14 like he
same
did.
Age.
So, and he's getting into Weezer, which is like my favorite band back then.
Pull out some of your old tab sheets that you have.
I got the old songbooks. He's like, who are these people? I was like, that's Weezer, dude.
It's like, this is a very historic local band.
Yeah.
Aliens versus robots. Maybe learn all the,
try to learn these ones.
The tabs.
Yeah. Just teach them only my song.
And then you can just retire and he can continue on.
Pass the torch. But he's doing great. And so that's inspiring me. And then I want to teach him to follow his interests versus, because I used to do this thing where I was like, man, I want to learn how to play really fast guitar, you know, like, and learn, which it helped me a lot, but I feel like I should have went down all that time I spent trying to be masterful at the guitar and like try to learn that. I really wish I would have done more songwriting.
Yeah, like, you know? Not waste so much time on something you think is important.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not a good guitarist if I don't do this. It's like, well, no, you're doing a different thing. You don't have to be like these other people. And so go towards where, almost like where you feel like you're being nudged.
Yeah, it's like whatever feels good and that you are happy doing.
That calls to you.
Yeah.
You know, like in comedy right now, my plan is to, like, it just feels like I'm watching crowd work. I'm like, I want to get halfway decent.
Better at that.
At being comfortable doing crowd work. Even if I don't come up with a joke.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to talk to a person off stage. And then at the end, if nothing happened, just go, all right, thanks, guys. This was a great conversation. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I got to know you a little bit. That's not nice. You know what I mean?
Without my ears getting hot and getting nervous because nothing's happening.
Right.
You know? It's like, well, you know what? This is 4 minutes.
Just being comfortable with
nothing
it.
Can happen for 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. These people are going to be okay. It's an open mic. It's free. You know?
Like, yeah, that's a hard thing to get over.
It's tough. But it's also like, teaches you to dig deep a little bit and just like get comfortable in uncomfortable situations. I feel like that's most comedy.
Yeah.
It's just,
I think that's most of life for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been trying to figure that out for a while. But I made progress. Okay. So this weekend, a couple of events to talk about. A big one, I think for me, the biggest thing is definitely the Plaza Festival. Plaza District Festival is this Saturday, September 30th.
Nice.
From noon to 10 p.m. All day, kind of big block party. Lots of art, lots of performing music. I go to it every year. I love it. I don't miss it. They usually have a lot of good music there. But I'll probably be skipping out on some music this year because there's a big show happening at the 51st Street Speakeasy that night, 7:30. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, Robots Save City. They always put on a great show at 51st Street Speakeasy. They have a great lineup. It'll be Andrew Wagner from Austin, Texas, Taylor Vinson from Denver, Colorado. We have Madison Allen will open the event with appearances by the super funny Jen Shamron, Meredith Everett, and Jamie Clark. It's a great show, great room. James like Nim.
$10 cover room. Starts at 7 p.m. and seating starts at 6:30. So that should be a fun one. Yeah, James Nim is a good guy. Robot Safe City.
Yeah, I love that.
Good events. He does lots of events at Speakeasy and art events too, which I'm excited. I don't know if he's got anything coming up, but I'm excited for the next one.
Well, and his band, the Nims.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
always doing something.
That guy's awesome.
Speaking of inspirations.
Yeah. I mean, James Nim by far. And he's a writer.
Yeah.
He writes.
Comedian, everything.
Yeah.
He's great. So yeah, that's a good one. And oh yeah, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, now this is what I'm going. This is my weekend. This is
Sunday,
what I've been waiting months for this show. Andrew Rose, he is actually headlining Bricktown Comedy Club this weekend on Sunday. The show is going to be at 6:30. It's going to have Brandon Kilo on it and Chandler Roan, two killers. Like, it's going to be a great show. And then Andrew Rose has actually been out doing shows to get prepared for this, like on a little tour. And man, it's cool to watch him be a person out there. He's just, I mean, I'm excited to see what he brings to the show.
He brings back
to the show. Because he went out, like, I saw this get set up a few months back, maybe. And then he went and put together, like, a whole tour and just went and did it. And then I just want to see how sharp he's gotten. But this one, I'm going to try to get people to come to and
Spread the word.
And spread the word out on this one. Because I've been personally really excited for this one. It's another guy, it's cool to watch do his thing, you know. But, yeah. That's it. That's our weekend. That's more than enough.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Like I said, the Plaza, I'm excited for that. Just to be outside and walk around out there. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it, I guess.
That's it, guys. All right. Well, hey, thanks for sticking around with us. It's been a great time. This has been awesome. We love doing this. It's just fun to do.
Also, don't forget, email us at rhythmandwit@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Just say, hey. How's it going? We'll read it. We'll read anything you write. Just write it. Well, almost anything.
Almost anything. Almost anything.
If you want to shout out your show, I mean, I don't know, email it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll mess around with it. I think that's it. But thanks, guys. See you later.
Have a good one.